Pierre McGuire standing by. Welcome back. So Dan Byrne has been with us in studio. Brilliant singer-songwriter at Turbo House tomorrow night. And somebody requested to his song about Bartolo Colon. He doesn't have a song about Bartolo Colon. He decided to give himself 17 minutes to write one. He did. We played it earlier. Eric Edholm joined us. Eric at 4:05 said, geez, it'd be nice to have a song about me. Took Dan about 6 minutes to write this about Eric Edholm.
Eric Edholm, Kentucky ear off. About Teddy Bridgewater and Jared Goff. Eric Edholm can make your head spin. About will the Steelers lose or will they win? Came from a land of Kerouac originally. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Eric Edholm, don't talk your ear up. By Teddy Bridgewater.
All right, we got to get Eric's reaction to that. It's the greatest moment in his life. And, of course, he also did the same thing for Bill Lee 2 years ago. So I can't wait. Over the next 20 minutes, as we're talking to Pierre McGuire, and before we send Pierre on his way for the weekend, Dan will have written a song about Pierre.
Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Dagwoods. Voted Cult Montreal's best sandwich in Montreal 3rd year in a row. Thanks, Montreal. You got to love a Dagwoods sandwich.
How you doing, Pierre?
Good, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Hello, Dan.
Hello, Pierre. Hello.
Yeah, we got him. Okay. Yeah.
He's right there.
Dan needs just a little bit of background information, right? Is that what you're looking for? Just
anything
a little bit?
You got?
Yeah. Born in Mont Tremblant?
No, born in Englewood, New Jersey. Grew up in Montreal.
Okay. Oh, why did I think you were born up in Tremblant?
Well, I basically was raised there, but...
Right. Englewood, New Jersey.
So, Pierre...
Same hospital as Bill Parcells, right across the street from Vince Lombardi, coach football at St. Cecilia High School.
Wow, that's a lot of stuff right
that
there.
That was a long time ago. You wanted information.
That's excellent stuff.
Wrote his thesis on the NFL.
Oh.
Yeah, even though he's a hockey guy.
Yeah.
Former coach.
Coach, where?
Pitt Stanley Cup winner.
Pittsburgh, Hartford, Ottawa.
Assistant coach Pittsburgh when they won 2 Stanley Cups back-to-back in the 90s. Okay, I think he's got enough. And now he's going to listen to us, and that's going to help him get to the final product.
Who are your big guys on those cup winners?
Mario Lemieux was pretty good.
Ronnie
Francis wasn't bad. Uh-huh. Kevin Stevens was really good. We had an 18-year-old and then a 19-year-old named Jaromir Jagr who was pretty good. Uh-huh. Paul Coffey was not bad. Mark Recchi was a kid. Brian Trotsky was really good. We had Larry Murphy. We had a lot of good players.
How many Hall of Famers have you just named?
There are a lot of Hall of Famers on that team.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I think we're set. So here, that this is impressive. And now we're just getting warmed up. Pierre, this is one. Honestly, I don't mean to overstate it, but when I heard Claude Julien say this when he was asked about Alex Galchenyuk's quote unquote struggles in the preseason, here's what he said today en français.
Pour son bien, pour le bien de l'équipe et tout, là. Je ne veux pas nécessairement commenter sur Galchenyuk parce qu'on semble toujours s'attarder sur Galchenyuk. Puis c'est un des joueurs de l'équipe. Il y en a d'autres aussi que je peux dire des vétérans qui connaissent peut-être pas des bons débuts.
Oh, man.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. They've got some work to do. There's no question. The next 2 games, I know it's preseason, but they've got work to do. You know, you go to Ottawa, you play Toronto. Those are their next 2 games, I believe, if I remember correctly. So it's that wasn't very good last night. I think you would agree. You know, it's back-to-back. Everybody was talking about Carey Price playing a second game, and he doesn't usually do that. And I didn't think he was great. Didn't think the team was great. I'm sure they don't think the team was great. They've got work to do, Mitch.
Well, wait a minute. You don't think Carey Price was great?
I didn't like his start to the game. Did you?
Yeah, but who cares about Carey Price's game?
You got to worry about it. He's got to be the guy that delivers. I mean, they can't get off to a slow start in goal. I'll just tell you. I know it's preseason.
All right, so if Carey Price looks like that in his second and third game of the season, we could revisit this. You're not really worried about that.
No. I'm just talking about last night. But, you know, this was supposed to be him getting the job done because they were playing him back-to-back, and they had lost the previous night to Washington against basically a no-name Capitals team, really, when you think about it. That was not the Washington Capitals team. But Ovechkin played.
Yeah, Kuznetsov played.
And he got pooped today from his coach for the slashing.
What were you saying about the Ovechkin the next day, Mitch?
Yesterday I said if anybody in the NHL is going to have a hard time adapting to the slashing rule, from what I've seen in Alex Ovechkin's career, it's all he does is slash guys in the back, and he's going to have a tough time with it.
And
well,
he said,
nailed it. Barry Trotz thought the same thing as you because he went public with it today.
And Ovechkin said, he asked one of the referees, does that mean you can't hit anybody anymore? And they said, yeah, that's what it means.
Yeah.
You can't hit anybody with your stick. Isn't that the way it should be?
Well, yeah, no, but it hasn't always been that way. It hasn't been called that way. But, Mitch, here's the one thing. This is why I'm telling you, there's not a lot of room for error. There's not a lot of wiggle room for this group, and that's why I've been pretty consistent with what I've been telling you from the start of the year.
Well, we haven't started. The start of the year, we haven't started.
I know, but you kind of do. You set yourself up for momentum going out of preseason. I'm not worried. I'm not scared. I'm just telling you, telltale signs. You played Carey against Washington. It didn't work out. You come right back the next night. He's supposed to carry the ball. I'm just saying it didn't happen.
It's not that I don't want to hear it. I think you're just overstating the development last night that is, in my opinion, going to be totally meaningless by the time we're at game 70.
I hope you're right. Because do you think the New Jersey Devils are a playoff team, especially the lineup that they iced?
No, but I don't care. I'm not judging Carey Price in a game like last night. I'm looking at the bubble guys, which is where I want to take you.
Okay, so go there.
Yes,
let's talk to the bubble guys. Go.
That's what I want to.
Okay, let's go.
And then you got another group of players who are probably fighting for the spots that are open right now, and that group right now is probably making our decisions probably a lot easier than we thought it would for now. So there's still 5 games left to play, but certain things have to change if that's going to be the case.
That's worth an ouch.
Yeah. Okay, so who do you think he was talking about?
Well, these guys were at the Gallo was in the rink last night. I was not. I saw an edited version of the game this morning, but go ahead, Mitch.
Yeah, well, to me, the guys he was talking about, Della Rose,
yep.
Carr,
mm-hmm.
Martinson for sure,
mm-hmm.
Redman, and Morrow.
Sherback?
Sherback too, for sure.
Sherback's in trouble. They're not happy with him, but we've been talking about him since probably the first day.
Tony and Knuckles believed he might have also been referencing McCarron. Gallo and Campbell weren't so sure.
I think he's probably in that discussion too. But, okay, so last year I gave the general manager credit for knowing that his team, the way it was built going into the trade deadline, wasn't good enough. So he traded a draft pick to get Steve Ott. He traded a draft pick to get Dwight King. And he traded to get Martinson to add some size and a robust nature to their team. Because they didn't have that, and he knew it going in, they were in trouble. So he tried something, and I gave him credit for being creative.
Right.
Well, two of those three guys are gone. Ott's an assistant coach in St. Louis. King's playing over in Russia. And I think Martinson is no more than a minor league call-up. So now you're hoping that McCarron can play. You're hoping that McCarron can play. And so far, his preseason has been underwhelming.
Sometimes things just don't click. There's the rhythm again tonight, the penalties, and to establish your game, you want to get a couple 5-on-5 shifts back-to-back, and I feel like that didn't really happen tonight, and I think that just leads to one thing, and that leads to another, and things just don't click.
All right, there's a fairness to that comment, but on the other hand, everybody is going through that on every team right now, right?
That's correct. Absolutely correct.
So we'll hear it later in its entirety on the scrum between 6 and 7, but Tony and Knuckles were quite vociferous and passionate about watching players this age who by no means have an NHL career solidified, not seemingly given everything they got on every shift. It's not like they're purposely going out there and not doing what they're, you want to see them do. So what's at play here? What's the deal here?
Maybe they're not that good.
That's what I said.
I don't think there's a young kid that comes into a Montreal Canadiens dressing room trying to make the team that's not given an effort. I think it's that maybe they're not that good.
Well, so it could be a harsh reality.
Yeah. You know, when I hear smart coaches like Coach Claude Julien, Mike Babcock, these guys speak, I'm like, I always take a step back. I'm like, okay, why did he say that? Because it was calculated, the comment that Mitch played before. And basically, I'm thinking that it's to spark those guys, to give them a kick, to give them some kind of motivation where like, he's talking about me next preseason game since we're only three, and I better really show him something or I'm done here.
Yeah, exactly right. And I know you follow Toronto closely, Mitch Gallo. Listen to Babcock's quotes from yesterday when he gets asked a question about different lines and Zach Hyman playing with Austin Matthews, and Babcock goes off. And I'm convinced Babcock goes off because he's not happy with the way his team's playing, and he's not happy with the way his team's working, and he wants to nip it in the bud before they get into the regular season.
Are there people in Toronto, I think I know the answer, it's rhetorical, but picking apart the Leafs already, like heavily, the way everybody seems to be doing with the Habs here on September 22nd?
Yeah, you know who, there's one player in particular, Zach Hyman, who's just getting, I don't think destroyed, but questioning why he's playing with Austin Matthews. And I think a bit, and I know I told you this story last year, I spent a lot of time with Mike before the Centennial Classic. And I asked him about, you know, how he went to configure his lines. And he said, you know, the biggest thing with Austin Matthews is his skill level so high, but I surrounded him with Connor Brown and Zach Hyman because those guys are animals. They're unbelievable on the forecheck. They always get the puck back, and they get the puck to Austin Matthews. So I said to Mike, I'm going to call him Austin and the Animals. He started laughing. And I know I shared that with you last year on the air. So he's always had this thing about forecheck presence and transitioning the puck from the forecheck to an offensive cycle situation. And one of the things Zach Hyman does really well is that kind of stuff. But that speaks to what you're alluding to, Mitch, where there's the scrutiny going on right now. There is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy just because, I mean, it's not like he plays him with nobody's in this camp, Austin Matthews. He had Nylander with him the other night. It's not like he's giving him two plugs.
Right. Well, I agree, but you know what I'm talking about. You're probably aware of what Babcock's been saying, and he wants to nip this all in the bud really quick.
He's good, yeah. Obviously, the more he plays, the more confident he's getting, and I think you guys have seen him. He's capable of getting it done. He's been good so far, and hopefully just keeps improving.
I don't know if he surprised me. To a certain extent, I would say yes, by the way he played his first game. You know, I was really impressed by that. But at the same time, I think I saw the things that he could bring, and that's why, you know, I said that beginning of camp, I put him with Webby because I thought it'd be a good pair.
And Pierre, something we touched on a couple of days ago.
You know, I've had the privilege of coaching a guy like Torrey Krug, who's, again, not a big player, but a big player in a way that what he brings to the team. And, I think Victor has a lot of those qualities, you know, as far as good skater, you know, carrying the puck up the ice and stuff like that.
Claude Julien, Victor Mete, and that was Shea Weber before. Weber and Mete are going to play together in Ottawa tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that's great. It's a nice little pat on the back to that young man, and it's really positive for the Canadiens. I think that's obviously really important to get him involved. Again, how long does it last? I don't know. He's obviously somebody that's made serious inroads, and the Canadiens have to be happy about that. But regardless, if he does go back, let's just say if he did, I still think he's in a pretty good spot going forward. He's a talented kid. You can clearly see that.
You know, for his size, he moves really well. I knew that playing against him this year. But, as you play with him, he sometimes surprises you. He's quick for his size. And, they call him kind of the power forward. But I think he's got that skill into his game as well. And he's a great shooter. I think everybody knows that.
Everyone's going to have to adjust. Players will have to adjust. They'll have to adjust because obviously it's not perfect right now. But at the same time, I think it will lead to a better game if there are less stick infractions.
So there was Jonathan Drouin on Max Pacioretty, and Max Pacioretty on all the slashing calls, and the hope for result of all these calls is to get the players programmed so there's a little more skill on display. Do you feel any differently a day later, or as these days are being chopped off the exhibition calendar, Pierre, as you watch these games, that they will get it?
I think they're starting to, slowly but surely. Tonight I'm going to watch Washington and St. Louis. I'm doing Pittsburgh and St. Louis on Sunday night, live from Pittsburgh. But I'm going to watch St. Louis and Washington tonight. I'm going to watch the Rangers and the Islanders tonight, and I'll have a better idea, you know, about some of those players. I think the biggest thing is just we went through this before, transitioning to different ways the game's called, and usually the players respond. Some respond more quickly than others, but I do think that won't be an issue going forward.
Now, what about from an Ottawa perspective? The Senators fans, their biggest concern right now for their team is health.
Yeah.
So what battles are going on in that camp that we might not be aware of because we're paying so much attention to the Habs?
Well, Logan Brown is a centerman, was a first-round pick, and he's extremely talented. Big guy, 6'6". They're worried, I think, a little bit about his pace, but if you think about it, no Derek Brassard to start the year and no Colin White to start the year. That's a lot of pressure on J.G. Pageau. So I would say that there's a real good chance that Logan Brown could start the year in the NHL, which would be good. And then you look on defense, obviously, no Eric Karlsson and no Mark Mathot. That's going to put a lot of scrutiny on Thomas Chabot, who I think, and I told you the other day, you asked me about would the Ottawa Senators trade Thomas Chabot as part of a package for Duchesne. And I said, absolutely. I didn't even have to think about it. I said, no way would I do that. No way. I mean, if they wanted to do that deal would already be done. There's no way I would ever do that deal. So Shabbat's the real McCoy. He's going to be a really good player. So I think they're trying to find a lot of solutions in-house, but it's not going to be easy because of the injuries they've sustained so far.
Pierre, I think a lot of Canadian fans are going to be watching Logan Brown for the rest of his career because he's 6'6".
Yep.
He's 220.
And you know where he was drafted.
Yep, two spots after the Canadiens took Sergachev.
Correct.
So, and he's a center.
Mm-hmm. I didn't want to bring that up. But Sergachev's obvious. Oh, by the way, I talked to people with the Tampa Bay Lightning today, and Sergachev's been outstanding. Their one concern with him is that he stay really focused and intense. They don't want him to get comfy cozy.
I saw that. He scored a goal the other night. He was +3. He logged over 22 minutes, I think.
I was talking to some decision makers there early this morning, and they're really happy with him. They just don't want him to get comfortable, too comfortable, so they're going to put the pedal down hard on him.
Okay. Great week, Pierre. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
I think Pierre's kind of, he doesn't know what to. Dan, what do you got here? All right, this is Dan Burr.
Pierre, the puck is everywhere, from the blue line to the crease and in the air. Back in Jersey, they dress like Springsteen. No one there has hockey hair. Back there, it was the Holy Trinity. Parcells, Lombardi, and Pierre. Lemieux and Jager, coffee, Trottier. They all listen to Pierre. From the bench, center ice, and in the air. The puck is everywhere for Pierre.
How about that?
Well, you got to get Dan down in Nashville. He can write a few tunes for some of those folks.
Well, Pierre, I'm sure you're not aware, but the movie Get Him to the Greek, Dan wrote several songs for that Judd Apatow movie. He wrote a big chunk of songs for Walking Tall, the Dewey Cox story, also by Judd Apatow. So,
wow.
Yeah, he'd fit in Nashville rather. Do you ever think of that?
going to Nashville and hanging out?
Yeah, I do like Nashville, and I got a lot of friends there. And every time I go, I think, well, okay, I'm moving here. And then I go somewhere else and forget about it.
Yeah. I think the same thing every time I go there. I want to move there.
Great week, great song.
Thanks a lot, Dan. That was really nice of you. Thanks.
I'll talk to you Monday.
Thanks for an awesome week. Yep. Really appreciate it. Take care. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Bye-bye.